Welcome to the weekly podcast from Christian Fellowship Church Belfast. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CFC, please visit our website at thisiscfc.com.
Hi, Holiday. Do you remember when we used to pack cases and go places? That was a fun time, wasn't it? And what was it about whenever we used to pack cases and go places? Whenever you packed your case, it was fine going there. But somehow the clothes kind of like grew or something for coming home. And then you would have this scenario where like you're just packed to the gills. And then you have to set the case down. And then you have to get the entire family to sit on the case so that you can zip the blessed thing up. Remember them days? I had a moment like that not that long ago. Priscilla and I were in Torquay, right? Speaking at this conference just a few months ago. And I know for many of you, having like time to yourself is such a luxury. And over the course of the weekend, we were there from Thursday to Sunday. And over the course of that weekend, I had the luxury of, I found a couple of hours that were just mine. Everything was done, no prep was needed. I was ready, I was set. And I had these couple of hours all to myself. And I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take a walk along Torquay coastline. I don't know if you've ever been to Torquay. Beautiful coastline. I'm going to walk right into the town. Our hotel was just outside the town. I'm going to walk along the coastline. I'm going to walk into the town. And I'm going to have me a flat white and almond croissant. That's what I'm going to do. And so I walked the beautiful day. Beautiful, beautiful day. I walked right into the town. When you get into the town centre of Torquay, if you've ever been there, it's quite hilly. And so I was up the hill and then back down the hill. And I was sitting with my flat white and my almond croissant, living my best life. And all of a sudden, I had this brilliant idea. And I thought to myself, I know what I'm going to do. I am going to bless my husband. That's what I'm going to do here. Always thinking of others, I'm going to bless my husband. I had this brainwave, and I phoned him, and I said, Drew, just want to bless you today. No, I didn't. That's not the way I talked to him. Drew, I've had this idea, right? What if, I have a few hours here, what if, to help you out, I buy all my Christmas presents for you? And then you just give me the money. Now, I could hear the relief in the man's voice. I don't know about you men. Some of you men are maybe brilliant at buying women presents, but I have seen the scared look in many a man's eye when he has to buy a present for a woman. He may have known that woman for 40 years. He still doesn't know what to buy her for Christmas, I'm telling you that. And so I could, and he's like, are you sure? Would that be all right? I'm like, absolutely. I have a few hours to myself. That'd be lovely. So I finished my flat white and I finished my almond croissant. And I dandered up Torquay, and I dandered in and out of all the shops, and I bought all my Christmas presents for myself, and I had a jolly good time. Well, I was walking back up the hill out of Torquay to our hotel, and I was getting a wee bit puffed out, because I'm not that fit, I'm going to be honest. And I was walking along, and it was just as I was approaching the hotel that suddenly realization hit. How am I getting this home? Because we had arrived on Thursday with this case. This was my hand luggage case. For Thursday to Sunday, and I am a woman. So this case was packed to its absolute gills. It could not be fuller. It had my Bible and my notes. It had some books in case I found some time to do my own thing. This case was packed. And here was me with shopping, including, guys, a full-length coat. And I thought, and all I could think is, I am wearing this all home. This was going to happen. I'm going to be on the plane like this because I'm going to have to wear all the clothes home. It was awful. Do you know what I wished in that moment? I wished that the case was like this. Empty. That's what I needed. I did not need a full case. I needed an empty case. Because this is our first thought for this morning. Emptiness is a prerequisite for fullness. If we want fullness, we don't look for something that's already full. If I want to fill a jug with juice, I don't look for a full jug. If I want to fill a vase with flowers, I don't look for a vase that already has flowers in it. If I want to fill a case, I don't look for a case that's already full. What I look for? I look for something empty when I want to fill something. And you know what? For many of us in this room today, that's very good news. Because I don't doubt that some of you, like Richard said, enter 2022 full to the brim with hope and vision and creativity and ideas and all the things. I don't doubt, and I'm very glad that some of you approach the year like that. But I know that for many of you, you woke up on the 1st of January 2022 and the first thought that entered your head was, do we have to do this all again? I'm not sure I've got the energy for another year. I'm not sure I've got the vision. After all the disappointment, I'm not sure I've got the hope. Maybe some of you had so much grief over the last few years that you just don't know if you'll ever find joy again. And you don't feel full. Maybe some of you even feel empty of love for God. It's like, I used to love him once, and I want to love him again, but honestly, I just feel dry and dusty, and I feel empty. Well, you know what? The gospel's really good news. Because while the world looks for fullness, God is deeply attracted to your emptiness. The whole of the gospel is about how the fullness of God meets us in our deepest emptiness. That is the story of God. And so if you're feeling empty today, you're perfectly positioned for the fullness of God to fill you once again. Because when you're looking to fill something, you don't look for something that's already full. You look for something that's empty. When I was a teenager, I know this might come as a shock to some of you, but when I was a teenager, I was a wee bit melodramatic. I think I'd watched too much Dawson's Creek, and I was a bit melodramatic. And that flooded into my life with Jesus too, because I had come to know Jesus as a very little girl. So by the time I was in my teenage years, I'd been walking with him for like over a decade. But I was a bit melodramatic. And there was this psalm that I came upon in my teenage years. And I'm going to be honest with you guys, I hated it. I hated it with my whole heart. You know why I hated it? It made me feel like a terrible Christian. And because I was a melodramatic teenager, it made me feel like the worst Christian that ever existed in the whole entire earth. And this is a psalm. Some of you might know it. It's found Psalm 42. As a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? Well, my melodramatic teenage self read that and thought, well, I am a terrible Christian. Here's this psalmist, and he's panting for God. He's like, when can I meet God? I can't even get out of bed in the morning to read my Bible. I'm a terrible Christian. And I hated that psalm, because I felt like that psalmist was a million miles away from my experience. Because I didn't feel all full of love for Jesus the way that I thought the psalmist was. I didn't feel all full of love for God the way I should. I was like, I want to love you more, but I'm not that person. And so my melodramatic teenage self hated that psalm until one day that I realized this. That psalm is not a psalm of desire the way that I thought it was. It's a psalm of desperation. It's not a psalmist who's full of this pulsing love for God crying out. No, no, read on. This is what it says next. In verse 3 it says, my tears have been my food day and night. And people say to me all day long, where's your God? This is not a psalm of desire. This is a psalm of desperation. The psalmist in this psalm is saying, I am empty of any resource that I had. Any fullness that was once inside me, it is gone. And I am desperate. And God, where are you? Because if you don't show up and do something in me, it's over here. I'm dying of thirst. I'm dying here. It's not a psalm of desire. It's a psalm of desperation. And that, I understand. God, if you don't show up, I'm in a world of trouble. So if you are feeling empty this morning, you're in very good company, because the psalmist in Psalm 42 was so empty that he thought he was going to die of thirst if the living water didn't come and meet his need. Emptiness is a prerequisite for fullness. But I want to caveat that with this. Emptiness isn't a guarantee of fullness. While we need to first be empty if we're ever going to be full, being empty doesn't guarantee we'll be filled. It doesn't. Because the reality is we're all empty. We just don't all know it. And in fact, what we need is not just emptiness if we're going to access the fullness of God. We need an awareness of our emptiness. Our second thought says, an awareness of our emptiness positions us for fullness. Because we're all empty, but we don't all know it. And I think that's why Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 5. In the Beatitudes, he makes this statement. Matthew 5 verse 6 reads, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. What is hunger and what is thirst? The psalmist talks about how he's so thirsty, he's like a deer panting. What is hunger? What is thirst? It's nothing really. It's nothing in and of itself. What hunger and thirst is an awareness of lack. It's a sudden awareness, oh, I'm empty. I need something. Whenever you're hungry, it's the moment that you realize that you're empty and you need something from outside of you to sustain you. That you don't have everything that you need inside of you. You need to access something outside of you if you're going to be filled. Hunger and thirst is an awareness of emptiness. And I think that's why Jesus talks about those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. People who are deeply aware, I don't have what it takes. They're the ones who are going to be filled. Not just the empty, because we're all empty, but those who know that they're empty, they're the ones who go away filled. You see, Jesus tells this parable, as we talk about this idea of hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Jesus tells this parable in Luke 18 about two different people who show up to church, just like we've shown up to church today. We've shown up to church online, in cafe, in this room, just the way we've shown up to church. Jesus talks about two people who've shown up to church. One leaves full and one leaves empty. And in that parable, Jesus creates for us a dichotomy, a separation between two groups of people that says we can all enter into the space of interaction with God, but not all of us will leave full, even though we all arrive empty. Not all of us will leave full. Some will leave full and some will leave empty. And I don't know about you, but I want to know who leaves full and who leaves empty. And actually, the parable's shocking because it's not who you think. The people who leave this interaction with God full are not the people that you think are going to. It says this in Luke 18, verse 9. To some who were confident of their own righteousness, that's the opposite of Matthew 5, verse 6, who are hungering and thirsting, who understand I lack righteousness. To some who were confident, who thought they were full of their own righteousness, and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector, and the Pharisee stood by himself and he prayed. He interacted with God, and this is what happened. God, I thank you that I'm not like the other people. Robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all that I get. Sounds pretty righteous to me, huh? He's already showing most of us up, isn't he, with his fasting and his giving. But the tax collector stood at a distance, and he wouldn't even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast, and he said, God, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. This man went away full. They both came in empty, but only one of them knew it. And it was the one who knew he was empty who left filled with the justice of God invading his life and making him just. God's righteousness given to him so that he was full of the righteousness of God. The prerequisite wasn't just emptiness, it was an awareness of his own emptiness. And the problem is, in the West where we live, there are so many things to look at to make ourselves feel full. Without realizing it, we do what this guy did all the time. We think, well, I'm already godlier than most of the people in the nation because aren't I in church? I'm already doing better than most of the street. Don't I read my Bible? Don't I pray? Don't I fast twice a week? Don't I give him a tenth? I'm full of righteousness, are we? It's really easy to think that we are spiritually full, and all the time we are spiritually empty and desperately in need of the fullness of God to do something new and fresh in our lives. And what we need in the West, I believe, more than anything, is to learn how to hunger and thirst again. To learn to feel the weight of our own lack and our desperation and our emptiness. But the problem is there's so many other things to fill ourselves with that we are empty all along and we just didn't know it. We just didn't know it. And so we fast. We fast. Because when we fast, we allow our bodies to get so empty that we feel weak and inadequate for the day's tasks, and we feel the pain somewhere inside of us, and we remember this: I'm not full. I'm empty. It brings us an awareness of our emptiness. You know what I love? I love that while we see this man who seemed righteous, not understanding his own emptiness, we see a counter story in the Old Testament in the book of Isaiah. I don't know if you know much about the prophet Isaiah, but he's a pretty good guy, especially among his peers, because Isaiah is part of a nation that has broken the covenant a million different ways. I mean, if there's a way to break their promise to God, they've found it and they've done it. They've run rebellion right to the end of the road. They've broken the heart of God. And Isaiah in that generation was a standout. He was a man after God's heart, a man who spoke truth, a man who refused to worship idols, who wanted to worship the one true God. He seemed like an exemplary Christian. And yet I want you to hear what Isaiah says. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5, this is what Isaiah says. "Woe to me," I cried. "Woe to me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips." What? Isaiah, are you mental? What do you mean you're a man of unclean lips? You're a prophet. You're the best of the best. If I line you up against everybody else in the nation, you look exemplary. Isaiah, what do you mean you're a man of unclean lips? And the thing is, Isaiah knew that the nation was unclean. He went on to say, "I live among a people of unclean lips." So how did Isaiah do it? Because I don't know about you, if we're sitting here today saying that we need to feel empty, we need to be aware of our own spiritual emptiness if we ever want to access the fullness of God, then how do we do it? How do we feel empty? How do we let ourselves feel empty? Well, Isaiah did it this way. The reason that Isaiah says, "Woe to me," even though he's exemplary in his generation, the reason he says, "Woe to me," is for this reason. He's not looking at other people to measure his own righteousness. In Isaiah 6 verse 1 it says this: "In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, and he was seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple." And the moment Isaiah saw God, he realized, goodness, I'm empty. When he saw the fullness of God Most High, he was confronted with his own deep lack, even though he was spiritually exemplary in his generation. And I want to say with all of the love in my heart to you today, even if you are spiritually exemplary in your generation, which I know many of you are, next to the fullness of God, we are desperately empty and deeply in need. And there is a danger, especially for those of us who have walked with Jesus a very long time and have maybe some trophies to show along the way. "Look at what I did for you, Jesus." There's a real danger that we would be tricked into thinking that we're full, and that we would approach Most High God like the Pharisee, thanking him that we're not like all those others, when really we come in on the floor just like everybody else in deep, desperate need. We need to learn how to hunger and thirst, how to feel the weight of our own lack and our emptiness, because that positions us for the fullness of God. And so we fast. And that's what we're going to do this week. Can I say that if you are ill, if you are recovering from illness, if you're on medication, if you have a complicated history with food, fasting food for you is not wisdom, I don't think, in my opinion, this week. That's not holy. That's folly. And so you're going to have to get creative if you're in that camp. And you and the Spirit of God are going to have a conversation about what you can do this week to bring yourself to an awareness of your own emptiness. But fasting food, that's not for you. But for the rest of us, many of us don't fast because we don't like being hungry. We don't like it. And we don't like feeling weak. And we don't like the rumble in our tummy. And we don't want someone to say, "No, you can't." And we don't like to feel in lack, especially when we can access all of this stuff. We don't want to feel hungry, but we need to feel hungry. Because as we fast this week, and we allow the pain in our belly, and we allow the weakness in our body, and we allow ourselves to deeply desire something and to feel like we are going without, it is a reminder to us that we cannot sustain ourselves because we are not God. God is self-sustaining. He is the bread of life. He doesn't need bread from outside of himself to sustain himself. He is the living water. He doesn't need water from outside of himself to sustain himself. He is life itself. He does not need anything. He is completely independent in nature. He does not need anything outside of himself. We are not like that. We are dependent. If we don't get food from outside of us, we die. Because we don't have what it takes inside of us to sustain life. And the thing that is true in the physical is also true in the spiritual. We do not have what it takes to sustain spiritual life on the inside of us. One prayer many years ago is not going to cut it, guys. Because today we are just as much in need of him to fill us with our fullness than we ever were when we cried those tears at an altar all those years ago and we came face to face with our own lack. We cannot finish the race set before us. We do not have what it takes. And even if you've run a very long way so far, I guarantee you that you and I will fall before the final hurdle if we do not stay connected to the bread of life and the fountain of living water. And so we fast and we let ourselves feel hungry because then we remember, I don't have what it takes. And we get desperate for the fullness of God to fill us again. Even those of us who feel like we're exemplary in our generation. Aaron's going to come. And in a moment he's going to sing over you and give you some time for reflection. But honestly, you see, if we ended this talk here, it would be the most depressing talk you've ever heard in your whole life. And you'd be making complaints to the elders saying, who is that wee girl and can we get somebody else because she's not very cheerful. Yes, exactly. Exactly, kid. It would be depressing, except for my third thought, and that's this. His fullness is more than enough for our emptiness. And no matter how empty we come to the altar, we leave full because his fullness is more than enough. Just before Christmas, I was speaking to our Seven community, and I was highlighting to them Mary, just after she gives birth to Jesus. Mary in Luke 2, after she gives birth to Jesus. And I want you to put yourself in Mary's shoes just for a moment. God has just given her himself. He has allowed her to give birth to him. It's like, what a gift to be given. What a gift to be given. And how do you ever begin to say thank you? What kind of offering do you bring back to God when he's given you that? I don't know. But Mary rocks up to the temple to bring her offering. And it tells us in Luke 2 that she comes with the prescribed offering of two doves or two pigeons. And many of you will know that that's not the prescribed offering. Because in Leviticus 12, it says a woman who gives birth to a son, she comes to the temple and the prescribed offering is actually a one-year-old lamb and a pigeon or a dove. And it's only those who don't have enough that bring two birds. Mary didn't have enough to present an offering that was fitting for her king. She didn't have a lamb. She just had two doves or two pigeons. And you know what? Aren't we all dove and pigeon people? In the light of what he's given us, what do we bring? What kind of offering do I bring to a king who's given me what he's given me? I'm a dove and pigeon person. I don't have enough. I don't have a lamb. I don't have what I should bring. Mary walks in that day with her two doves and her two pigeons and she doesn't have enough. But you know what she does have? In her arms, she has the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And she doesn't have enough of an offering. But he will be her offering. He will be her offering because he's enough. and you and I come into presence of God Most High, and not one of us has enough, but He is our Lamb. He is the Lamb of God. He takes away all of my sin and presents me faultless before the throne. He's the Lamb of God. He takes away all of your sin and presents you faultless before the throne. He fills all of your emptiness with His muchness. And it is more than enough. He is more than enough. I'm going to give you a few moments at the start of this week, before we fast. Because what we're going to do this week is once we fast and we get ourselves all empty, then we feel hungry and a little bit desperate, then we're going to gather. We're going to gather all week long. We're going to gather in the morning, 7 to 9 in the cafe. It's a drop-in. You come and go as you please. We're going to gather here in the auditorium, 12 to 2 every afternoon, Monday to Friday, except Monday, which will be 1 to 2. We're going to come every night, Monday to Friday. Monday, Wednesday and Friday, we're going to be here in the auditorium at 7:30. Tuesday and Thursday, we're going to go for a walk and we're going to look at the emptiness all around us. And can I tell you something about those times when we come together? There's going to be nothing sparkly about them. And there's going to be no show. And there's going to be nothing pretty or performance. You know what there's going to be? There's going to be a gathering of the empty ones. And we're going to carry not our muchness, we're going to carry our emptiness before the throne together as a community of the empty. And we're going to beg Him and plead Him with Him to fill us. And I am asking you to come. I am asking you to come. And this is why I'm asking you. Because you need Him. If you're to run the race set before you this year, you need His fullness. You need it now more than ever. You need Him. And so I am asking you to rearrange your schedules, to do whatever you need to do. And if you are isolating at home and you can't be with us, there are online options as well at thisiscfc.com/prayer-and-fasting. But if you can be here, I'm asking you to be here because we need the fullness of God. CFC, we need the fullness of God or we cannot run the race set before us. So we're going to empty ourselves and then we're going to gather. And we're going to start now. Aaron's going to sing over you a beautiful, beautiful song for all of those of us who are empty, which is all of us in fact. And as he does, I'm going to invite you to close your eyes. I'm going to invite you to still your heart in Cafe Church. I'm going to ask you to do this and online as well. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and still your heart. And if you're aware of what your emptiness is, I'm going to ask you just to present that before the Father and ask Him to fill you with His fullness. And if you're not yet aware, I'm going to ask you to ask the Father to show you your own emptiness. Holy Spirit, may you let us feel the weight of our emptiness so that we can experience your fullness. So if you close your eyes with me, Aaron's going to sing. I'm going to give you a few moments to reflect, and then we're going to join in a corporate prayer in just a moment.
You have been listening to the weekly podcast from CFC Belfast. To find out more, please check out our website at thisiscfc.com.